It's time for the ETF Spotlight, where each week we highlight one exchange-traded fund. There are thousands of ETFs available to invest in. ETF Prime has sorted through them all, so you don't have to.
The ETF we're spotlighting this week is the AGFIQ U.S. Market Neutral Anti-Beta Fund. The ticker symbol on that is BTAL, BTAL. And joining us via phone from Boston to discuss this ETF is the Chief Investment Officer at AGFIQ, Bill DeRoche. He's also the portfolio manager for this ETF. Bill, a pleasure having you on the program.
Thanks, Nate. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
So, Bill, before we dive into the ETF, I thought it might be helpful to first have you explain this concept of beta, because obviously that's a key factor in understanding how this ETF works. So let's maybe start there. Explain what beta is and perhaps provide a couple of examples as well.
Sure. So from a technical perspective, beta is just a mathematical calculation. It measures the covariance between an investment, and that investment can either be a security or actually a portfolio relative to a reference benchmark. Let's break that down a little bit. So we're looking at this particular universe of securities that goes into BTAL. It's a U.S. large cap universe. So the reference benchmark that we would be calculating this covariance to would commonly be the S&P 500, which is what we use. Now, covariance has two components. It has a correlation component as well as a volatility. Since we're dealing with homogeneous pool of securities in this example, the correlations are very close to one another. So what we're actually capturing with our beta calculation is the relative volatilities or the riskiness of the securities. So those with higher betas are going to be riskier, have more volatility, and those with lower betas will have lower risk or lower volatility. And since we're doing it relative to a benchmark, the benchmark would have a beta of 1, and those with higher risk would have betas greater than 1, and those with lower risk, lower volatilities would have betas less than 1.
So Bill, if I were to boil that down, effectively beta of an investment indicates whether the investment is more or less risky or volatile than the market as a whole. Is that a good way to characterize it?
That's a very good way to capture it, yes.
Okay, so now let's walk through the ETF. This goes long, low beta stocks and shorts, high beta stocks. Take us from there. How exactly does this work?
Yeah, so the idea is we're going to provide regular investors access to more hedge fund type investments. So this particular fund, it tracks a Dow Jones S&P index that you described correctly in that it's long, low beta. High beta names. Beta is measured using 52-week returns or weekly returns over a 52-week period. And basically, we start with a universe of 1,000 securities in the U.S., and then we just rank them from lowest beta to highest beta. We want to make sure the fund isn't a sector fund, but it's a low beta versus high beta fund, so that we make sure that whatever exposures we have in a sector on the long side match what happens on the short side. So I'll just give you a quick example. The fund typically has 200 names long, equally weighted positions. So that's a 50 basis point position in all 200 long securities. And it will have 50 basis point positions in the 200 short positions. If there are, say, 100 names in financials, we'll end up having 20 financial positions on the long side. At 50 basis points, that ends up being 10% of the portfolio. And we'll do exactly the same thing on the short side with the high beta names. We'll have 20 positions at 50 basis points. So we'll have a minus 10% position on the high beta names. So at the end of the day, we're not going to have a lot of the return being explained by either the sector or industry exposure. It's going to be driven by beta. Now, the high beta names in the portfolio are typically around a 1.25, and since we are short them, that's going to contribute a negative 1.25 beta to the overall portfolio. the long or low beta positions are typically about a 0.75 beta, so that will contribute a positive 0.75. So at the end of the day, you're going to end up with an asset that has approximately a negative 0.5 beta in your portfolio, which makes it very interesting when you're trying to hedge some of the equity risks that you might have from your core beta positions.
Bill, this is Jason Lank. Great info on the what. I want to delve into the why. If we're long low beta stocks and we're short high beta stocks, throw out just a high-level textbook example. If the market dramatically rises, what should I expect out of each of those sleeves? If the market goes down, what might I expect out of each of those sleeves?
So that's where this product is particularly interesting. Though it has a negative beta, it has an asymmetric return profile. So what do I mean by that is there's an up capture ratio versus a down capture ratio. So that means what do we expect to happen with this particular product when the market goes up? When the market goes up, say, 10%, the expectation is that this fund will underperform by minus 5%. So it has a minus 50% up capture ratio. So you're like, well, why would I want to own that? Well, the down capture ratio, on the other hand, when the market is down 10%, this fund tends to be up 10%. So it has a negative 100% up down capture ratio. So the idea here is that you give up a little bit of the upside, a little bit of the right tail, to hedge a lot of the left tail. So if you look at this, you'd never buy it as a standalone product. You'd want to blend it. And again, our view is you'd like to blend it with your core equity exposure. We all believe that core equity is a great way to generate wealth. But as we all know, say once every 5 to 10 years, the equity market experiences these drawdowns. We all wish we could predict them better. But at the end of the day, our view is that if you had a strategic position to this particular asset, and let's just use an example where you have 75% in core equity, say S&P 500, and 25% in VTOL, over history, what you would have seen is you'd be able to capture about 75% of the upside on the S&P 500, but you'd be able to cut your drawdown in volatility in about half. So we describe it as our sleep well at night portfolio. It's something that I use in my personal account. I'm getting older now, so I really don't want to have the drawdowns that, say, happened back in 08, 02, so forth.
So, Bill, I want to make sure I understand this properly. So typically when stocks sell off, what you're saying is high beta stocks tend to sell off more than low beta stocks. So if that happens, obviously you would get positive performance from BTAL. And then while high beta stocks tend to outperform when the market recovers, it's not to the same degree as perhaps they underperform during downturns. That's the asymmetric returns you're talking about. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. So, and you hit the nail on the head. So when the market tends to go up, you know, volatility tends to be a little bit lower. The market makes its march up slowly. So the low beta names tend to hang in there relative to the high beta names. So as you would expect, high beta does better when the market goes up. But when the market goes down, volatility tends to spike, and those high beta names significantly underperform. And that's where basically you're getting that insurance that we were describing on the hedging side.
So, Bill, you mentioned the hedge. You mentioned this could sit along core equity exposure in a portfolio to help mitigate risk. I'm curious, from an investor behavior standpoint, do you find investors have a difficult time using ETFs like this when, you know, they really only pay off in scenarios when the market doesn't perform, or at least that's when they're going to perform best? And I guess I'm more interested in sort of the investor psychology here, because, you know, I don't think most people seem to hesitate buying auto insurance or homeowners insurance before something bad happens, but it seems different with portfolio insurance. Why do you think that is?
I wish I could explain that, but it's absolutely something we see. You know, one of the things that, you know, has been documented in academia is that people do tend to have a greater aversion to losses But it's surprising, though. They definitely have regrets when they miss out on market upside. And in particular, given the market's march upward, you know, it's been up well over 200% since the bottoms back in March of 2009. Folks really have basically haven't seen a lot of volatility in the marketplace. So as a result, these products have not been very popular. Unfortunately, you know, one of the things that we do see when we talk to people about this is they always like the idea of trying to do this dynamically, where we have some type of model that forecasts drawdowns. You know, we do try to do that, but the reality is it's very challenging. It's difficult. So at the end of the day, I'm 100% in agreement with you that most folks, you know, wait too late. And, you know, then they end up having even more regret at the end of the day. As we said, the market tends to go up. So you do want to be invested in it as much as possible. But it does experience these drawdowns, and it could be very helpful to try to avoid them.
Bill, when I see an interesting ETF like BTAL, I like to get under the hood and make sure I know what I own. Two things that you might comment on. Number one, this is an equal-weighted ETF. You know, what are the why and why is that the case? But also the rebalance strategy. You rebalance monthly, and that's in the industry a little unusual. We tend to see more quarterly or even less frequent. What's the logic behind that?
So I'd say there's a couple of things here. One is we start with the top 1,000 names in the U.S. So, and basically the fund owns the top quintile or top 200 names, which, as I said, for this fund, we're ranking it by beta. So it's going to have the top 200 low beta names on the long side. And the idea is that top quintile basically has the characteristic we're looking for, which is low beta. We're not going to try to differentiate between, say, number 10 and number 11. The view is that if you're in the top quintile, you have the characteristic we're looking for, and that's what we want to be long. And if you're in the bottom quintile, you have the characteristic we are looking for, so we want to be short. And because we're not going to try to differentiate between number 1 and 200, the idea was to equally weight it. So that's the idea there. Now, the fund has actually just recently changed to a quarterly rebalance. It was monthly for the longest period of time, and the reason for that was an SEC requirement, which has since changed. There's this concept called Section 18F that I won't spend too much time on, but it's the idea of shorting in a 40 Act mutual fund. There are strict limitations as to what you could do. And there was concern initially, because we were the first ones to do it in an ETF vehicle, that there could be concerns around this Section 18F rule, which basically talks about senior securities. We've been live now for 7 years. We've been able to manage it without any issues. We petitioned to go to quarterly, which we've done. And the idea with the quarterly rebalance now is it reduces turnover. We still have grandfathering in place. So if you move from, say, 200 to 201, you'll still stay in the portfolio. But at the end of the day, we wanted to reduce some of the transactions costs we were experiencing with the monthly rebalancing.
Hey, Bill, we only have about 2 minutes left here. I always think it's helpful to compare ETFs like this to potential alternatives that investors may consider. And I'm curious, how might BTAL compare to just a simple low vol ETF or an ETF actually targeting low beta stocks?
Yeah, so again, the long portion of this portfolio, which we've considered launching as a low vol product, it has those low beta names, but at the end of the day, that portfolio is still going to have a positive beta. As I mentioned, those low beta names are about 0.75. So you still have quite a bit of market exposure. So when the market goes down, that portfolio will be down. It's not going to provide the hedge that you would expect. You're still going to have drawdown. So you're going to have a very different return experience if you were just to get that long-only, low-vol portfolio versus, say, a BTAL.
Well, Bill, with that, we'll have to leave it there. Really appreciate your time today. Great spotlight. Thank you for joining us.
Very much appreciate you having me. Thank you. Take care.
That was Bill DeRose, Chief Investment Officer at AGFIQ. Again, the ETF is a U.S. market neutral anti-beta fund, ticker symbol BTAL. And you can learn more about this ETF by visiting AGFIQ.com.